know there's Russell Wilson in Seattle, right?
Hey, you know we got Richard Sherman, right?
Okay. the Rams are a team in the NFC West. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I got DeForest Buckner.
Okay, I heard that Kyler Murray was going to the Cardinals, too.
I got Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, George.
Play action. In rhythm. You said it. And there he is. Goodwin. Touchdown.
The middle picked off. On the interception. Touchdown. A pick six for the Niners. Kittle in Denver territory. Kittle is gonna go. Touchdown. 85 yards.
The 49ers in overtime.
All right, everybody. I'm Zach. Some of you may know me as Zachman175 on Reddit. And here I have Daniel. Daniel, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. You might know me as DeForest Bosa on the 49ers subreddit, maybe on the NFL subreddit as well. Yeah, things are going good over here. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. It's had not too bad of a day. Just kind of chilling, actually. So, today, Bosa and Debo got signed. What do you think about that?
I'm pretty happy it happened so soon. I guess it's not that soon because training camp is about to start and a lot of other rookies were already signed. But with Joey Bosa's whole contract holdout and everything that went down with that, I was a little worried, like maybe 10% worried that a holdout might happen because I think they have the same agency representing them as well. It would make sense that they do. Debo, I wasn't worried about at all, but Bosa, I was pretty worried that he might hold out. So I'm pretty happy he signed today.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fans out there worrying about actually both of them holding out because, you know, exactly like you said, Joey Bosa holding out and all that. But the thing is, the Niners, they always sign the players at the very latest. In the past couple of years, it's all been Thomas on the day of training camp and all those other players. Dante was like, what, the second day before training camp?
Yeah, something like that. It was cut pretty close, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I usually don't worry about those things, honestly, because I know they'll sign regardless. But I don't know. I think it's all on the agents and not the players. I think the players wanted to get signed immediately, but I don't know.
Yeah, the players just want that paycheck. Their bank account's looking a little thin until they sign that dotted line, and then boom, they got that heavy bank account after that.
Absolutely. So, training camp coming up, tomorrow they report in, and Saturday is the first real practice for Niners training camp. What battle are you looking out for?
It's funny, because there's not a lot of battles to really care about on the team, I feel like. The running back battle is going to be pretty interesting, because I want to know if we're going to carry four running backs and a fullback into the season. I think Shanahan might. It does seem like his kind of style to do something like that. But none of these guys deserve to get cut and will end up on another roster producing very, very quickly. Well, outside of Jeff Wilson Jr. and Austin Walter, I think. But McKinnon, Breida, Mostert, and Coleman, like all four of those guys deserve to be on an NFL roster and deserve to be getting fairly significant carries every single game.
Yeah, I know you're a Tevin Coleman fan. You always told me that you're always a Coleman fan.
Yeah, so I've been a Tevin Coleman fan for a while. I like him a lot better than Jerick McKinnon. I also like Breida better than Jerick McKinnon. I wasn't a big fan of the Jerick McKinnon signing when it happened. I understand that he is very much a Shanahan style of running back, but the man just never really produced when he had opportunities in Minnesota, unlike Tevin Coleman, who produced quite a lot when he had opportunities in Atlanta.
Yeah, speaking of McKinnon, I mean, when he was with the Minnesota Vikings, he had the speed. We know that he had the speed. It was just that the system fit wasn't just for him, because they did draft Dalvin Cook to the Vikings, and he had better production over McKinnon and Latavius Murray.
That always kind of scared me. Like, Dalvin Cook was a great running back coming out of college, but his game isn't terribly different from Jerick McKinnon. Like, they're both a very, very speedy back who can catch the ball. McKinnon just never really showed it to me.
Matt Breida, he actually did very well last year. The main thing that the players and coach, the coaches were worried about was his receiving ability. And he actually showed to have a really great receiving skills last year, especially against the Giants. He had that incredible two-hand touchdown in the corner of the end zone. So I thought that was pretty cool. He actually had, they say he's like the next, he's like McKinnon 2.0. He actually showed a glimpse of what McKinnon has to offer.
I think Breida's year last year was better than Jerick McKinnon's entire career so far. Honestly, Breida was an excellent running back last year. The only concern with him is health, and the only reason that was a concern is because he was the only good running back we had to trot out there, really, outside of Raheem Mostert. But he doesn't carry the rock a whole lot. He's more of a special teams guy. But Matt Breida really, really broke out last year. And if he's the one who ends up getting cut, I'm going to be pretty upset because I really, really like his game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even he was injured too, he still went out there and produced some good yardage. I mean, we had Alfred Morris, and that was a mistake. Mostert, yeah.
Another one of our Washington send-offs that we got with Shanahan that just really didn't pan out.
I honestly, I thought he'd be a good, decent third down back, but man, he was not good at all.
Yeah, he didn't produce for us like we expected to at all. And I mean, to be fair, it was towards the end of his career. I mean, he's no Frank Gore. He's not going to keep going forever.
Right.
So it was sort of to be expected, I think. But yeah, getting back to our running backs right now, I'm thinking, like, if I Coleman and Breida making it through, and then Juszczyk at fullback, obviously. But that's just me.
Yeah. I totally agree with you, though. It will be really interesting to see how everything shapes up in the training camp. But what I'm looking forward to the most is the secondary. The free safety, the Niners didn't sign a single free safety except for re-signing Jimmy Ward, which I was really, really upset about because I do not want the guy on the team. I mean, no disrespect, but the dude cannot stay healthy at all. And I just don't trust him enough, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I definitely do, and I don't understand why we didn't go after a free safety in free agency, because this was a really good free agency for free safeties. There was a lot of talent out there. I am sort of a Jimmy Ward fan. I understand that the dude just cannot stay healthy to save his own life, but when he is on the field, I actually really like what he brings to the team. So if he can ever just stay on the field, just give me like 13 games of normal Jimmy Ward, and I'm perfectly happy with him starting at free safety for us, honestly.
His rookie season is probably the best season he's had. I don't remember the PFF grade, or he actually was pretty solid. I think it was his rookie season when Gabbard was still on the team, and we were playing the Bears, and I remember his best play was that pick six off the screen, and he did a front flip into the end zone.
His biggest trouble seemed to be, so he got moved to slot corner for a while, and he was playing out of position, and he didn't look great at slot corner. I'll definitely say that much. He did not look like a slot quarterback I wanted on the team. But once we moved him back to free safety, I really like his range and his ball skills.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how that battle shapes up. Adrian Colbert. Colbert, his rookie season, I thought he should be the next, the top guy, because he showed really good flashes of hitting the ball, finding the ball hawk and everything. Then the sophomore year, he just went decline. I was like, what happened, man? I don't know what happened to him. It's kind of all out of whack.
Yeah, we see sophomore slumps happen a lot, and it sucked that it happened for Adrian. Is it Colbert?
I'm
not sure. Colbert? Okay, yeah. So I had no idea how to pronounce his last name, so he had that big drop-off last year. I think he can get back to form. I think maybe, like, things just went so well for him his rookie season that he started to care a little bit less about practice and stuff like that. Like, I'm obviously not going to say I know that for sure, but I think that's something that might have happened. So coming into year three after he's had a down year, maybe we see him bounce back a little bit.
I hope so. Plus, he did change the number back to 27, So maybe we'll see some. No, it was 38. I'm sorry. he changed his number back to 38 because it was 27, I think. So maybe it's yeah.
Strong correlation between changing your number and suddenly playing like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Well, do we have the strong safeties, Tart and Harris? Harris, I don't know. He had some good games last year. The first two games, he just started. I mean, I understand he's a rookie. He's going to make some mistakes. But the game against the Seahawks was a week 15, I think. He actually did pretty well. I was pretty impressed with him, how he did.
Harris showed great flashes, I mean to say. He looked really good a couple games. He looked really bad a couple games. And from a rookie strong safety, that's sort of what you expect to see, I think. I think he definitely makes the team. I don't think he really takes any starts away from Jaquiski Tartt unless Tartt gets injured. But if Tartt does get injured, I'm pretty happy having Harris on the team.
Oh, yeah, me too. I don't know. Tartt, he's a good player, but he's just the same thing as Ward. He can't stay healthy. We need those consistencies and players that are available to play and bring that production to the team. I don't know. I think Harris could be a great backup or a solid starter, depending on how he does this year.
Yeah, and luckily with our new retooled front seven, there's going to be a lot less pressure on those safeties to go up and make those big hits and put themselves in positions where they can very easily get injured. At least that's how I hope it shakes out. Our front seven being as good on paper as it is should take a lot of the pressure off of those guys back there.
Oh, yeah. Look, last year we did not do well in pass rushing because we had Cassius Marsh and we had, who was the other guy on the other end? Was it Armstead? Armstead on the end?
Yeah, we played Armstead on the end for a while. We played Solomon Thomas on the end for a little bit. There was another guy in there. Yeah, I can't even remember his name. That's how unrememberable.
Yeah.
That was a horrible, we had one of the worst pass rushes I think I've seen in the NFL in a very long time.
Like, Buckner, he can't do it all by himself. I mean, he got 12 sacks, but he still can't do it all by himself.
Buckner is about to make a name for himself. That man is about to be commonly recognized throughout NFL fans as one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, I think. If he's not already, but I think he's going to be right up there with the Aaron Donalds of the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because he even admitted in saying that he is so happy right now with Nick Bosa and Dee Ford on the edges now. So that means the QB will have to step up. That means Buckner will be right there waiting for him to get to the quarterback. So that's be a great thing for him, especially with quarterbacks like Wilson and Rodgers coming up. Oh, yeah, Buckner's going to eat this year.
Buckner might get less sacks this year, obviously, with the addition of Dee Ford and Nick Bosa. They're going to take a lot of the sack opportunities away from him, I think. I think we still see him get 8 to 10 sacks, probably, but I don't know if we'll see him get 12 again. And some people might think, oh, the sack numbers fell off, he didn't have as good of a year. But I think that you just kind of got to throw that out of the window right now. If he gets less sacks this year, it definitely doesn't mean that he had a worse season than last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, another thing is the interior defensive tackle right next to him, that's going to be a good camp battle to watch out for with Eric Armstead and Solomon Thomas. I mean, Thomas, he had his first 2 years in the year NFL, his coach did not play him at his best position, and that automatically set him up for failure. Plus, his sister passing away too. I mean, that'll mess you up absolutely mentally, and obviously you're not going to want to play nothing. You're not going to care about anything. So I will always defend Solomon Thomas for what's happened to him.
Agreed. Yeah, I definitely feel bad for him, and I think he's been put in a spot where a lot of people are labeling him as a bust. And it's a little bit unfair. I mean, obviously the production on the field sort of warrants the label of bust right now, but you got to look at everything that happened to him off the field to really get the context of the full picture. I think this season we see a lot of Armstead and Thomas sort of rotating in that spot because I think both of them could be the starter there easily. And I don't think you can really say one is going to really be the better player right now.
If you had to pick, which one would you pick as starter, Armstead or Thomas?
If I had to pick right now, it would be purely based on what I've seen on the field in the past, and that would be Eric Armstead.
Right. Honestly, to me, people would definitely disagree with me, but I'm going to have to save Thomas because I think his best position, his best production comes from the inside, not the outside. Watching him play, watching the game film on him, he is so good on the interior, again, other than the edge, because he is not built to bend around the tackles. He's built to power through the guards and center and get to the quarterback that way.
Yeah, and if he comes out this year, and let's say Eric starts and Solomon Thomas rotates in and just looks better and wins that starting job, I'll eat my words a little bit, I guess, but not really, because I do believe Thomas could easily do that and earn that starting role and, say, get 60% of the snaps to Armstead's 40 or that.
Yeah, yeah. There's another training camp battle that a lot of people have been talking about. It's the cornerback, the number two position against Jason Verrett and Akilah Witherspoon. What are your thoughts about that one?
I think this one's pretty cut and dry for me. If Verrett is healthy, he wins that number two spot, hands down. I like Witherspoon. He had that really nice year, 2 years ago, where he played very, very well. Last year was sort of a down year for him. I mean, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't great either. But Verrett, when he's healthy and on, he is one of the best cornerbacks in the league, I think. Honestly,
yeah.
Watching his tape, when he's healthy, the man is a freaking stud. So if he's healthy, that's not even a camp battle, in my opinion. He just wins that spot, and Akello kind of rotates.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Akello had a bad year. The thing is, he did not have that much of a safety help on him either, so that kind of downplays on what he did. Because the free safety is supposed to help him out over the top whenever the ball is coming towards his side. I mean, don't get me wrong, Akello did make some bad moves, but on the other hand, the safeties did not help him out at all. So that's why, plus he had more targets too towards his way other than Sherman. Sherman had, like, what, maybe 10 targets after all year?
Yeah, Witherspoon got picked on. But that's sort of my point is Verrett needs, when he's healthy, he needs a lot less safety help than Witherspoon does because Verrett is much more of a lockdown corner. I won't say he's as good of a lockdown as Sherman is, but he is, like, a textbook lockdown corner. He is a man-on-man, lock him down, don't need to worry about the safety help, really, sort of guy.
What's really going to help the whole team is Sherman, he's 100% healthy now. He did say he was healthy last year, but we can tell he wasn't because he did say that his heel was nagging him a little bit and that's why he kept kind of slowing down and stuff. Like, but now he's ready, he's rested, he's ready to go. And that is going to help the corners, the safeties, and everybody out so much. Plus, even Verrett too, because he might make some targets and you might get some interceptions for it too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm really excited for our secondary this year. I don't know if it's going to be one of the best in the league, but after last year, I'm excited for the players that we have ready to go right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a question mark. We're going to see how they do, if everybody can stay healthy. But on the other hand, I really feel good about this group better than the past couple of years. Because, I mean, from the first year of Shanahan and Lynch coming into the league, they had to rebuild almost an entire roster from the ground up. And now they look so much better on paper. Of course, we never know until the season starts, but I really do like the chances of the Niners maybe going to at least a wild card spot.
Yeah, this roster, it looks to be built almost perfectly for what Shanahan and what's our defensive coordinator's name? It's escaping me.
Saleh, Robert Saleh.
Oh, yeah, Saleh. So this looks exactly like the roster, or at least almost exactly like the roster on offensive defense that Shanahan and Saleh want to have. The offensive roster has come around really nicely to play well with Shanahan's system. We have a quarterback that can fit the ball into those tight windows on timing routes and stuff like that. We got wide receivers who are just really good at running routes and getting separation and have some yak ability. And then on defense, our linebacker core has gotten a lot faster, so that all gas, no brakes sort of mentality can really be fully utilized. I don't know if the defense is exactly where Saleh wants it to be. I think he'd really like having an all-star free safety, you know, sort of guy. But outside of that, I think we're almost there.
Yeah. What I was really excited about this offseason is not necessarily the players, but the coaches that the Niners brought in. Joe Woods and Chris Kokurek. I think I'm saying his last name right. But they are going to do so much wonders for this team. I was so excited when they got hired on the team, because when you look at both of their resumes, Kokurek, he was with Alliance, and he made, in a sense, Anza and Sue for what they are now. And look how much... look how good they are. Plus Joe Woods, look at that 2015 secondary of the Broncos. That defense was so elite. I was so impressed with what they did in the Super Bowl. I was like, where was this defense the entire time? This is like one of the best defenses I ever seen in my lifetime. So I thought it was pretty cool, and he was part of it. So I'm really excited to see how this shapes up for our team.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised that Joe Woods doesn't have a defensive coordinator position somewhere already. Honestly, he's a very, very good defensive backs coach, and he looks to have he's gonna have a pretty bright future in the league. My favorite hire was Wes Welker. Honestly, like Wes Welker was one of my favorite wide receivers over the past two decades probably. Like, he's absolute stud for the Patriots, and then we get to hire him as a assistant coach, wide receivers coach, sort of. Like, that is going to help guys like Dante Pettis and Trent Taylor so much, because he really fits the mold of what those guys want to do, and he did it so well for so many years.
Well, if you watch the videos on the 49ers YouTube channel or whatever, you see how smart he is with the players, and how much he really cares about the game. He's always talking to the players, telling them how they should do this certain move on the defensive back and all this. It's really cool to watch how he explains everything to the receivers.
Yeah, he is going to be a great addition to this offensive coaching staff, I think. I could see him being a great wide receivers coach for many, many years. I don't know if we ever see him be like an offensive coordinator or something like that. I think he just wanted to stay in the realm of football, and this is like the perfect position for him.
Exactly. So the season coming up, what are you most excited about?
I am most excited, well, number one, just to watch some fucking football again. I cannot wait just to watch some football. Like, I'll watch all the preseason games of every team right now, honestly. Outside of that, you could just, I mean, it comes down to the quarterback. Seeing if Jimmy G can come out healthy and be himself again, because that is what our entire season depends on, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I agree with Jimmy G is going to be the most important aspect of 49ers success. Because, I mean, last year, he did not do well. I mean, I will get bashed for this, but he did not do well. The Vikings game, I mean, he had some good plays, but the most part, that game was all on him. The Lions game, he was holding the ball way, way too long. There have been multiple times he should have threw the ball away, and of course they won the game, but they could have lost that one. Then you go to Kansas City. The offense was starting to click on the second half. That first half was a disaster for the defense. I don't even know what happened. I was at that game too. It was really kind of embarrassing because all the Chiefs fans were making fun of me and all that. Then the Niners started to come back in the second half. I was like, all right, maybe we can start getting somewhere. Then Jimmy G goes down with the ACL, and everything just goes flat after that. It was a wreck.
Yeah, he was definitely picking it up before he tore his ACL, but people don't really seem to like to talk about the fact that he did not look great those first couple of games. He was not looking like the guy who came in and won 5 straight games for us. He was, like you said, holding onto the ball way too long. He wasn't making very good reads, and he seemed much slower in the pocket than normal. He was kind of scaring me those first couple of games. That second half of the Kansas City game, I started to come around like, okay, now we're seeing Jimmy Garoppolo get back to being himself, get back to killing it in the Shanahan offense. And then, he makes that. It was a pretty good run, actually, and then he tears his ACL. And, it was all downhill from there. Yeah, the season might have been saved, actually, if we didn't throw Bethard in there. We would have thrown in Mullins, but it is what it is.
Right. I don't know. I want to say Jimmy G was overthinking it too much. In my opinion, I think he was overthinking it too much. Plus, I don't think he had a full grasp of Shanahan's offense right there. I don't think he was fully in depth with the playbook then, like he was in 2017. Because I think he knew that he was going to be rushed in 17. So I think he tried to get everything going immediately. But I don't know. I really don't know. It's all a theory and everything, but I think he kind of took it easy that year and just kind of laid back, and I don't think he took the playbook that seriously. But now, since he had all his off time, since he's been hurt, I think he's actually been serious about it now, and I think he's actually ready to go for sure.
Yeah, I need him to come in week 1 and 2, absolutely kill it, then he can go out. He can smash all the porn stars he wants to at that point, but I need to see the man come in and play some really good football, because a lot of the Niners fans right now keep talking about him like he's a top 10 quarterback, and he might have the talent to be a top 10 quarterback, but putting him in that list right now is absolutely absurd in my mind. Like, he hasn't proved anything yet. We paid him like he was a franchise quarterback. He needs to come out and play like him.
Oh yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, because like you said, he hasn't proved anything yet. And of course, he had the 5 games, but his best game was against the Jaguars with a number 2 defense, and having history in the books. They're having some kind of record going on, but he tore that defense up. Of course, Shanahan had a lot to do with it, but on the other hand, he had accurate throws. There were 2 throws that that come to mind right now. It's the one to Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne was against Jalen Ramsey, and I think it was Miles Jack. He predicted what the play was going to be. Jimmy threw a bullet to Bourne, and I thought for sure it was going to get picked off by either Ramsey or the linebacker. But he got it. I was like, how? How did that even happen? And the second one is the one to George Kittle. That one was a bullet as well. I was like, if we get the same Jimmy as 2017, I will be so happy, because that means the team will be so much better and we will know that we have our franchise quarterback.
Yeah, if we get 2017 Jimmy and we get 2018 Kittle, this offense can't be stopped. I think we win 10 or 11 games, if that's the fact. If we 80% of both, I think we're fighting for a wild card. Honestly, I like our roster right now, and I am cautiously very optimistic about it. I think we could definitely push for a wild card spot or playoff this season.
I don't like comparing teams, but I feel like this team has potential to be the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs with a better defense.
I sort of agree. Maybe. Keep going.
But yeah, if Jimmy has the potential to be what Mahomes is now, Kelce and Kittle are kind of the same player, but I think Kittle's a better player. But Kelce has more experience and everything. The team has better receivers now. We have Marquise Goodwin, who's faster than Tyreek Hill, actually. We have a great running back backfield. Chiefs did have that with Kareem Hunt, but since he's gone, the Chiefs fell apart. If you actually noticed that, Chiefs did not do well after Hunt was gone. And I can guarantee you they missed him, because he was actually part of their big plan. I guarantee you they would have won the Super Bowl with him, too. But the defense, they had no secondary at all. But the Niners now, they have Jason Verrett, and they have Sherman. They have a pass rush now. If the safeties can do a lot better than they have been doing, this team can be something special.
Yeah, I don't know if realistically Jimmy will ever have a season as good as Mahomes did last year. I think Mahomes, his arm talent and his mobility is just on another level. But if Jimmy can be, you know, say like 75-80% of what Mahomes was last year, then the rest of our offense, I think, is better than what the Chiefs were trying out last year. And I do think our defense this year is much better as well. So I think we definitely could be that sort of dark horse team that where people are just like, oh, wait a minute, like, these guys are good. This is a squad. I do not want to play them right now.
Because that was the Niners in, what, 2012, 2013? Nobody wanted to play the Niners ever. That was the best time ever because teams were scared to play against the the San Francisco, and it felt good to be powerful, you know, as a fan. He's like, all right, who are we going to beat this time? But now as you kind of get worried a little bit, saying like, maybe we can beat this team, maybe we'll lose, we don't know. And Of course, I kind of like that feeling, but I really don't at the same time, because I like things to be unpredictable, if you know what I mean.
Me as a fan, I'm going into every week saying, all right, who are we smacking in the mouth this week? Whether or not that happens is another story, but it's like every Saturday, I'm like, you know, we're going to win this game. It's this weird optimism that I've had over the past several years, every single week, that it hasn't died yet somehow. And I'm really hoping I can say that every Saturday this year and be correct.
Right. I didn't feel that way when, as soon as Harbaugh left the team, I was like, we're not going to be good again. We're not. Then Shanahan came in. I was like, all right. I like this. After watching Shanahan scheme up his plays of the team, I feel like this team can be, like you said, it can smash anybody in the mouth. Like, we have this team has so much potential, they don't even know it. Well, maybe they do know it, but I don't think fans know it. And the thing is, it's kind of scary because this team can be a whole lot better, too.
Yeah, my bold prediction for the Niners this year is that we lead the league in time of possession, because Shanahan's offense is just really good at doing that when it's clicking. With Atlanta, they were absolutely insane at time of possession, because it didn't matter if it was 2nd and 9 or 3rd and 7. They had a play to get a guy open for 8 yards, 9 yards, 10 yards, something like that. And they just trotted down the field. That, like, every now and then you'd see Julio Jones catch a 65-yard touchdown pass or something like that. But most of their plays was just, you know, it's not really dink and dunk. It is a little more West Coast, I think, but it's these 7-yard passes, these 8-yard passes, followed by a 5-6-yard run, stuff like that, just wearing other opposing defense down.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. Do you have any other bold predictions you want to say?
As far as bold goes, Nick Bosa, if he plays 16 games, has 15-plus sacks this season, is a bold prediction, I would say. I don't know if that's as bold as the Niners leading the league in time of possession, because the talent is clearly there for Bosa, but I see him being an absolute monster if he plays every single game. I think 15 sacks would be a really good, you know, target for him to hit.
Yeah, 15, that's a big number, because even Buckner hasn't hit that one. When was the last time the Niners actually had Alden Smith, maybe, but...
Yeah, Alden Smith had, what, 21? He almost had the record?
Yeah.
Drinking.
Was that his rookie season?
I think it was his second season, I want to say.
Okay.
I think his rookie season, he had like 16 sacks or something ridiculous.
That's crazy. I don't know. If I had to go for a bold prediction, I would say Dante Pettis and Deebo Samuel both get 1,000 yards receiving.
Ooh, that is very, very bold. I like it, though. There's going to be a lot of catches going there. That prediction, I think, comes down to Marquise Goodwin and whether or not he is as good as he was 2 years ago or if he plays like he did last.
Well, the thing with Marquise Goodwin, his role will be decreased, but in a good way. Shanahan said that he didn't want Goodwin as a starter because he had bigger plans for him with his speed and ability to catch the ball and stuff. What I want is Marquise Goodwin is to be in the slot, the starting slot player, because if you get him to do a comeback route or a slant, he's gone. You can see that from the Arizona Cardinals game. He did a simple slant, went to the house just like that. Like, how are you gonna beat that speed? How are you gonna catch him?
Yeah, I mean, the man's a fucking Olympian. he just won that 40-yard dash competition that he hasn't even gotten paid for.
Are they ever gonna pay him for that?
I doubt it. That thing was a mess from the get-go. It's awesome they participated in it, but if any ever expected to see that money, they were mistaken. It was like, that whole thing was what, $35 on pay-per-view or something like that? Who's buying a $35 pay-per-view to watch some NFL players run 40-yard dashes?
I didn't even know it was on pay-per-view at all.
Yeah, that's how they were generating all that money. It was $35 pay-per-view buyers. I get maybe 6,000 people bought that. Like, maybe. I think that's probably on a little bit of the high side.
Well, I knew it was there was an event going on. I knew I saw the tournament brackets and everything, but I didn't know when it was going to happen, where they're going to show it, and all that. And then I saw Goodwin winning. I was like, "Wait, that happened today?"
Yeah, I thought it would be on YouTube or NFL.com or something like that, where everyone could go and watch it. They could sell some ad space for ad revenue, maybe on ESPN. But no, it was on pay-per-view.
That's kind of crazy. I didn't know about it or anything. I was like, oh, all right. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, that was managed worse than the AFL.
Well, I think it's going to wrap it up for our first episode. Do you want to promote yourself to anything? Your Twitter or?
I don't really have anything to promote myself on. If you want to follow my Twitter, you can go ahead. It's at Daniel11Powell. But yeah, I'm just excited to get back into football, man. I'm happy we're doing
this. Yeah, I'm happy to have you on for the first episode. I hope to get other guys get going on here too. You guys can follow me. I'm ZGreer24 on Twitter. And again, I'm Zarkman175 on Reddit. But thank you, everybody. And great talking to you, Daniel.
Yeah, great talking to you too, man. This has been a blast.
All right, see ya.
Later, man.